Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Do the Right Thing Right with your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. We may not have all the answers, but we'll help you find them. We're coming to you live from Houston, Texas, as we do every Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. Our format is 30 minutes to allow for a short lessons learned application regarding ethics. For call-ins, dial 646-478-3840 or interact in our chat room.
Hello and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Do the Right Thing Right for Thursday, June the 11th, and I'm your host, Phyllis Wilson. And as our announcer said, I want to remind the audience for call-ins to dial 646-478-3840 or interact in the chat room. So today's guest is Peggy Seelfen. Peggy, did I say your last name correctly?
Close. It's Seelfen. Seelfen.
Oh, Seelfen. Okay. Well, thank you, Peggy, for being on the show today.
Phyllis, it's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Listen, Peggy, could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. I'm a personal development coach. I'm a wellness specialist and productivity strategist. I'm an author, and I'm a former journalist, originally from New York City. And I really spend my time helping people overcoming life's big and small frustrations and challenges. And I've been certified in a variety of life-changing modalities, from ancient yogic techniques and mindfulness and spirituality and yoga to training in modern psychology, energy medicine, the neurosciences. I'm interested in everything, Phyllis. So I help people, you know, move through trauma, stress, anxiety, physical pain. And I've developed several systems that help people do that. And it's been incredibly rewarding.
Wonderful. Well, listen, I heard you mention that you an author. What is
I
the name
am,
of your
and
book?
I'm very excited to be on your show today of all days, June 11th, because this is actually the publication date of my book. And it's Escape from Anxiety, Supercharge Your Life with Powerful Strategies from A to Z. And it really has over 100 different strategies for interrupting anxiety, stress, fear, and really breaking down those barriers and really being able to transform. And the second part of the book goes into a deeper understanding of anxiety and the neurosciences and how you can sustain long-term resolution of anxiety. So I'm really grateful to have the opportunity to talk about it and also just to really have all this information out there for people to access, because it's funny, this morning I got an email in my inbox from Dr. Joseph Mercola about how anxiety is 800% more prevalent now than cancers. And so it's an epidemic.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Now,
it is. It's incredible.
That is. I mean, that is powerful. It's.
Well, there have been studies that show there's something like over 40 million people over the age of 18 who suffer from anxiety, and now we're actually seeing anxiety dropping into lower ages, kids 11, 12, 13, and there was just a study in England that talked about how social media is actually activating the existence of more and more anxiety amongst youngsters. So it's becoming out of control, and you know, what I'm really happy to convey is the point that there is something we can do about it, but we need to pay attention and we need to take control of it. And by the way, if anybody would like to get my book, the best way is through my website, which is just peggysteelfund.com, because I'm giving away some bonuses if they go through the website, which will take them to Amazon. So the last name is spelled S-E-A-L-F-O-N, so S as in Sam, E-A-L, F as in Frank, O-N as in Nancy, so... Thank you, Phyllis.
Oh, wow. Now, I need to get that book because, now, I'm curious. So you said from A to Z. So give me an example of one of them, if you can.
Oh, sure. Well, one in Chapter 6 is T, and T is play. And I'll just read you the opening sentence because it kind of sums it up. We don't stop playing because we grow old. We grow old because we stop playing. And that came from George Bernard Shaw. And so it's really allowing us to have that child within come out, because that's where our creativity is, where our inspiration is, and we need to be able to give ourselves permission to spend some time playing, because a lot of people go through life as adults feeling that, you know, play is frivolous and I don't have time for that. I have to work harder, and they lose the balance. And play actually has been shown to have major importance in terms of brain function and physical wellness. We need those releases. So it's really important. So now all these employees are running to their bosses right now saying, wait, I need a play off afternoon, right?
Wow. Yeah, that is so true. I mean, you have to unwind. It's just,
well, and not only that,
so
actually, one of the really important things that I coach so many business clients, as well as, you know, individuals just dealing with different levels of stress and anxiety. But one of the clear opportunities that people have to interrupt those periods of feeling anxious or not performing well, or in the case of, you know, ethical questions, not really being able to make good decisions because they're so stressed and anxious. And one of the key ways of being able to manage that is to interrupt that anxiety and stress, even if only for a minute or two. So I train people to develop techniques that they can use throughout the day to just take little mini breaks, you know, little timeouts. And it may just be that they stretch. It may just be that they take some really deep cleansing breaths. And that can really transform that feeling of overload or overwhelm. And the other thing that's really interesting is that, you know, according to the American Institute of Stress, the number one stressor in our country is work, is the fear of losing one's job. Isn't that incredible? And so what happens is there are situations where, you know, an employee is so fearful of losing their job that they do something that may not exactly be in keeping with good ethical standards. And this happens all the time.
Wow. So now I've always thought that the number one stressor was money. But that could relate to work, too, because if you're not working, you have no money, and so it's a vicious cycle.
Well, and that's the key is, you know, the job represents a lot of things for people. It represents income. It represents an identity. This is what I do. This is who I am, which is not true, but that way. And so that fear of losing a job has huge repercussions. First of all, there's a repercussion of judgment. Oh my gosh, what will my family think? What will my, you know, what will my friends think? Oh my gosh, what will my fellow associates think of me? What will I do to pay my bills? You know, what can I do next? Oh my gosh, how will this look on my I mean, we play out these scenarios that aren't true in the present. They're something in the future that hasn't happened and probably will never happen. But people fear that.
Wow, it's the what ifs that cause a lot of anxiety, right? Is that what I'm hearing you say? Yeah.
Well, a lot of people either function in the past of, oh my gosh, that happened, that was horrible, and so that may happen again, I have to prevent that, and they fail to live in the present, so they actually miss what is, and they're too busy being afraid of what might be. And that does create a lot of stress for people. So it's really about coming into awareness in the present. And it's one of the things that I work with clients on. And it's so interesting how it affects people at all different levels. I've been working with this woman, I'll call her Susan. That's not her real name. But she's the CEO of a nonprofit organization. And she came to me because she was having crippling panic attacks to the point where she thought she was having heart attacks. She went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You're physically fine. You know, do something about, you know, your anxiety levels." And what was happening was she had relocated to a new area. This was a new job. So she was going through a lot of transition. And because it was a new situation, she had inherited associates who really wanted to rule the roost. And, you know, talk about ethics. They, you know, would agree to certain tasks to her face, and they would be very polite. But behind her back, they would demean her. They would undermine her policies and her approach to things. And they were extremely critical, and they began to gossip and champion a group of other employees who became like this mob mentality against Susan. And poor Susan was feeling this, you know, underlying current, and it's very unethical, clearly, what the employees were doing. But it was forcing her into potentially making some unethical decisions as well, because she was so stressed about it that she was beginning to act in ways that weren't appropriate of a CEO. So what we did was we worked with her on several different techniques that she could use to interrupt that anxiety and really get in touch with who she is. She's a very talented, very gifted person. But she had lost all of that in this coming through, in this transition of being in this new position. And it was a matter of giving her a protocol of things that she could do throughout the day that would allow her to really stay in touch with who she truly is and all of her great talents. And after she got to a place where she felt more in control and more connected to herself, we then we recommended that she actually have a team meeting and bring all the employees together. Because another piece of the puzzle was the fact that the company, the organization, was going through a merger. So, again, this was creating a lot of anxiety for people losing their jobs, what would happen in the merger. So it was creating this spin of anxiety for everyone and creating a lot of discord and, again, creating a situation where employees were really acting unethically. And saying they were doing certain tasks that they weren't doing because they were rebelling. And so Susan finally brought them together, brought the team together, and she was feeling really resilient and confident at this point. So she was able to create a forum for people to air their anxieties, their fears, their concerns, and to help champion an approach where they could all work together to move through this transition and to move through these conflicts and these undercurrents and really change them.
Oh, wow. That sounds exciting, Peggy. Wow. So turn the whole situation around.
Turn it around. That's the whole point. And to me, personally, I really believe that we have to sort of change our work paradigm. And instead of competition and conflict and people sort of working behind others' backs, is really having transparency and really being able to work together, because collaborating and cooperating is the way of the future. And we need to start doing that now. And it's really important that we all work as a team, because what I do is different from what you do. But when we work together, we make each other better. Instead of, you know, I don't want to undermine what you're doing. You're doing great things. But some people feel jealous or they feel insecure. And so it's important that we build the individual up. And that's what we did with Susan. You know, she was, you know, the head of this company, but she was feeling disempowered. And so we gave her the tools to be able to rise above it. And anyone can do this. That's the whole point, is that whatever level someone's at, everyone has an important role, everyone has a purpose, and it's really about having the right attitude and following good ethical practices that allow you to really contribute in a positive way, where not only do you benefit the organization, but you benefit yourself because you feel good about what you're doing.
Right, right. So, Peggy, how did she find you?
Actually, she came to a workshop that I did. I do workshops in different places around the country, and she had come to a workshop, and it was just an introduction, so she realized that she wanted more and needed more, and we were able to do, I have a program called an Integrated Life Plan and Training Program, and it looks at all different parts of one's life and kind of analyzes which area is out of balance, and sometimes it's more than one area. And then we develop a protocol, and it's drawn from many different modalities. That's the thing that I offer as a coach, is a lot of coaches are trained just in one area, and I have such a broad-based training that I can really help someone develop a program that's really going to fit them, that they're really going to use, because obviously if they don't use it, it's not going to be very effective. So I develop programs that really resonate with the individual so that they can really assimilate it into their lives and be able to use it forever.
Wow.
So Susan's doing phenomenal. The transition has happened, and everyone is, you know, really flourishing. And how wonderful to see that happen.
Wow, that's interesting to get people to climb on board the wagon, and transition is hard for a lot of people. I mean, it's hard for me. Change, you know. A lot of us resist change, but that's wonderful that it worked out for her.
Absolutely. Well, change is one of the biggest things that we humans have a hard time with, because change brings a threat. It brings a fear of the unknown. And we're actually wired to want the sort of status quo. When we go through change, it triggers our, you know, fight or flight response, which is okay for short bursts. You know, if you're being chased by a bear, it's good to have that short burst of adrenaline, right? So you can run away. But what happens is, and especially in the culture we live in today, that fight-or-flight response is triggered for chronic periods of time, and it's not healthy for the mind or the body to be at that level for a long period. It was just made for short bursts. And what happens when it continues for a long period is all of energies go to the extremities, so we have the ability to fight, you know, the fearless tigers or bears or whatever, you know, we're dealing with, or be able to run away. And, you know, today our fears and our tigers are often our own mental chatter and our own mental thoughts. So what happens when that occurs is it siphons energy away from non-essential functions in that moment. So it takes it away from digestion. It takes it away from the immune system. So what happens, people get sick, and a lot of people suffer digestive issues, acid reflux, indigestion, and that affects so many other abilities to perform. In fact, I had a client, I do a lot of daily coaching with clients to help them assimilate the different techniques, and I just had a conversation this morning with someone who went through kind of that very experience of realizing how stress had such an impact on how he handled the particular situation, and how, you know, intervening by quieting it down made a difference in how he was able to solve it. And the situation was very simple. It was actually a crisis with his car. He had bought a used car, which was a high-end car from a dealership, and suddenly found out that he was going to have to have it fixed to the tune of $6,000, which in the past he would have been in that dealership throwing such a fit that he probably would have been carted away by the police, right? And instead, he was able to approach it with a much calmer, more in-control response. And as a result, the dealership worked with him much more than they would have, obviously, if he had responded with that explosive reaction. And they actually found that there was a different solution, and it would cost a few hundred dollars.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Wow. But it's I guess, Peggy, it's actually, one, you've got to be trained on how to do it, or you got to know how to do it. And then two is you've also got to be able to stop what you're doing and practice that breathing or the exercise to relieve the anxiety, and then you can proceed on. And I know I used to hear that, you know, take ten breaths before you say something, and I forget that sometimes when in the heat of the moment and stuff. And so what technique, easy technique, can you give our listeners that you would suggest when you're dealing with, say, for instance, a car dealership that ripped you off or that you think ripped you off?
Right, right. Well, one of the techniques that Michael is using is a simple breathing technique. And what happens when you're stressed and panicked or anxious is your body tends to be folded forward, so you're not breathing very much. You're not getting much oxygen into your lungs or into your cells. So everything in your body gets compromised. And actually 70% of the body's toxins are released through our breathing. So if you're not breathing fully, you're accumulating all this negative stuff, negative thoughts, and physically negative toxins. So the best thing is to just sit or stand tall and really slow your breathing down. And one of the techniques that I teach is very simple. You just breathe in really deeply through your nose, and then you blow out through pursed lips as if you're blowing through a straw, making the exhalation longer than the inhalation. Mm-hmm. And you repeat it. So what I teach clients and what your listeners can use is if you can practice this three or four times a day, just for 30 seconds or a minute, it begins to become part of you so that when you're in a crisis, it becomes more available for you to use it. Because, Phyllis, just as you pointed out, you know, you don't remember to do it because it's not something you use all the time. And so it's something you have to practice when you're feeling good and when you're not feeling good so that it becomes automatic. It's just something you do. Another very simple thing is just right in the middle of your chest bone, there's kind of a hard spot. If you just tap on that lightly and breathe in deeply and breathe out. And that, too, can just help interrupt the cycle. And, again, it's a matter of mindfulness, developing this technique in a way that is available to you. So, again, it's practicing it three, four, five times throughout the day so that it's available to you and taking those breaks. And that's one of the things that we've discovered in the neurosciences, is that the more times you can take these one-minute, two-minute breaks throughout the day, the more you're relaxing the brain and the body to not only be more oxygenated, but to really function at a higher level. And so it allows you to make better decisions, to make better judgments, to see things more clearly, to really understand what's going on, and to really access all the knowledge that you have that gets blocked when you get panicked and you get worried about things. You can't think straight. So it helps restore just your natural thinking processes, and it actually improves brain function.
Wow. You know, so let me ask you this, Peggy. When you were talking about the, in the other example where you talked about the lady that you helped, the CEO.
Susan, yeah.
Could not her organization have benefited from some of your training?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
And actually, we're talking about that right now. But, again, they were going through such transition, and she was feeling so insecure at that point in terms of her role and what her commitment should be or shouldn't be. She wasn't even sure she wanted to stay with the organization at that point because it was so painful. It was so unpleasant, and there was such a lack of cooperation, and the whole transition of the merger was creating such angst for her that she was beginning to question whether or not this is mm-hmm. the right place for her. So that was the mm-hmm. first thing we really had to address. And mm-hmm. now that they have pretty much gone through the transition, we're actually talking about developing some specific workshops for their groups.
Yeah. And can you just imagine if they had this training, what kind of organization that would be? It would be an ideal work. Anybody would want to work there, you know, because the camaraderie, the cooperation between everyone, it would just, and productivity would increase, you know, probably affect the bottom line. Just a myriad of
it actually affects absenteeism, presenteeism,
mm-hmm,
businesses,
mm-hmm,
healthcare costs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are so
mm-hmm.
many business benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Right. Wow. Well, listen, tell our audience again about your book, how they can get your book and your website.
Yes, thank you. It's Escape from Anxiety, Supercharge Your Life with Powerful Strategies from A to Z. And if they go to PeggySealfon.com, PeggySealfon.com, they can get some really nice bonuses, and one of them actually is a meditation technique. I call it a productivity pause for business people, because a lot of business people don't want to do meditation. So,
mm-hmm.
but it's really something easy to do, and it's very helpful when you practice it. And what I love about so many of the techniques that I'm providing is the fact that you don't have to go anywhere, you don't need any special equipment, you have everything built in that you need. It's just a matter of doing it and practicing it and remembering it.
Wow. That sounds exciting. I'm going to have to definitely check out this book, because I think it will be a powerful tool to use, at least in my own personal life and professional life. So thank you so much for sharing that information with us today. And I can't believe it, but our time is almost up.
I can't believe it either. Thank you, Phyllis. This has been a joy to be here with you. Thank you for all you're doing.
Listen, I want to thank you for joining us today, and I want to thank our audience for tuning in. And next week's show, we'll have another guest who will talk about an ethical dilemma that he or she faced. So we invite you listeners to tune in next Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. And remember, I'm your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. I may not have all the answers, but I'll help you find them.